Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey guys, big thanks to our friend David Noble for covering down on this Freedom Friday. Let me tell you real quickly here about a really cool product. This is a veteran-owned company, a Big Fork Montana Marine. I first met Lee back at the inauguration for President Trump. We had a whole great crew of Montanans that were back there for Trump's inauguration. And Lee said, hey, I want to send you a product that I created. I want you to try it out. I gave it a shot. And this is basically like a small energy drink. It's like a shot of power and pain relief all in one. It's called Power Plus Pain Aid. It's like an energy drink, but it's got vitamins. It's, instead of being loaded with chemicals, it's got vitamins in it. Here's the deal. Our friend Lee, a Marine Corps veteran, he's giving you 15% off your orders. Go to drinkpowerplus.com and use this code at checkout, Flint15, Flint15. Use that code at checkout. You'll get 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com.
Hey, thanks to Aaron Flint for the opportunity to guest host today on Good Friday and a Freedom Friday. This is David Noble. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. Also online doing political commentary and analysis at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. Get on any social media app and search for LectureFan and you'll find me. We've been talking about what happened last night in the Montana Senate with them passing the $6.6 billion blowout budget, 18% increase in general fund spending, puts us on a path to have a $1 billion deficit almost by 2029, according to the fiscal division there in Helena. They put out a report saying that this budget that's been passed by the House and the Senate now, with some minor tweaks, I think is going to go into conference committee here, but it puts us on a path to being having a $689 million deficit by 2029. It puts us into the deficit, into the red next year in 2026, and then almost $1 billion by 2029. We've been talking about that. And, of course, the Nasty Nine reported here from the Montana Free Press. The Nasty Nine last night voted repeatedly, time and time and time again, in lockstep with the Democrats to defeat the Republican leadership's amendments to the budget. And so we've been really talking about that a lot. Marion Kalispell wrote in and said, one of the Nasty Nine, Senator Shelley Vance, got funding from the California Public Employees Union, which I did not know about. So Marion Kalispell, thanks for that message. But folks, there are some good things happening. There are some good news. We actually do have some conservatives in positions of power here in Montana, including, of course, our attorney general, our commissioner of securities and insurance, and frankly, my favorite, one of my favorite statewide elected officials, the best secretary of state in the country, Christy Jacobson. Check this out. She posted, Montana is eager and ready to enter an agreement with the White House to further safeguard Montana elections. Secretary Christy Jacobson, eager and ready to further safeguard Montana elections with an agreement with the Donald Trump White House. So fantastic news. Christy Jacobson's been doing everything she can to safeguard the security and integrity of our elections. Would love to see an agreement with the White House. Great work by her.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, we had a story here from the Attorney General, Austin Knutson, filing legal briefs in support of the Trump administration's plans to bring education issues back to the state. We got great news from Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson, willing to enter into an agreement with the White House to safeguard elections. We've got Jim Brown at the Commissioners and Securities of Insurance doing great conservative work. So there are some positive Republicans here in Montana. Not everybody's a rhino. We've got the Nasty Nine in the legislature, but that's kind of it. We've got a great caller on the line, Tanner Smith, the Montana Republican Party National Committee man, Tanner Smith. Thanks for calling, Tanner.
Well, thanks for having me on, David. You're always my favorite by far, of course. And Aaron's great, but he has a little too many splainaways for me. I would just like to remind all your great listeners that, you know, on this Good Friday and then Easter Sunday coming up, that I'm looking to resurrect our Republican Party. You know, I'm running for chairman of our GOP. I'm currently working on branding and franchising our Republican brand, just like I did when I was a Boy Scout of Stevensville. You need to sign an oath, take a pledge. Same way my kids, when they want to be a Flathead Brave or a Bravette, you know, they have to sign a pledge, take an oath, uphold the school rules. We need to have that in our party because right now, you know, literally Kamala Harris could move to Montana, get a residency in 6 months and run as a Republican, and there's nothing we could do about it. We just have this willy-nilly way we've been running our party needs to stop.
Well, and it's the same, like with open primary, like we allow we literally allow Democrats to vote in Republican primaries in this state.
Yep. Yeah. And see, that's a problem, but we legislatively can't fix that because they're already in and have the votes to not fix it. That's why we need to fix it at the grassroots level as a Republican Party to clip the wings there because, you know, that's legislation we tried to get passed when I was there. In the last session, when we had the supermajority, that the rhinos vote with the Democrats because they don't want to upset the apple cart. So these are things that I'm actively doing, and I intend to do as the GOP chair to get our own house in order before we can start fixing the problems for the folks in Montana.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like the tax pledges. I mean, that's more of like a national thing. We've seen a lot of that at the national level where various tax organizations will require candidates to sign a pledge, whether, I don't know if it's, I will not raise taxes, you know, and they sign the pledge. And then that happens in presidential primaries, obviously, kind of all the time. And I don't see any reason why the Republican Party couldn't have sort of a similar type of a thing. Now, whether it's enforceable, whether you'd ever even want to try to enforce it, sort of a separate question. But certainly, it would absolutely be helpful in terms of at least informing the voters, because right now, sort of when you've got sort of a, could be a totally full blown communist that, you know, they file as a Republican. They go out, they say they're a Republican. If they're a first time candidate for the state house or something like that, it becomes very difficult to know whether or not, they are actually being honest with what they're saying. Now, you could have them sign an oath, of course. I mean, if they're willing to fraudulently go out and say, hey, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican, when they're not, when they're actually left-wing Democrats, I guess I wouldn't put it past them to sign a pledge or something like that. Although, I don't know. So it's an interesting idea. I like kind of the ideas. I think there's some questions probably on enforceability, on effectiveness and things like that. But there's certainly a problem here. Obviously, there's a problem, right? And so what I just like is, hey, there's an idea here. There's some, because otherwise, what are we supposed to do about having people running for Republican office in Montana? And I think Tanner Smith makes a good point, too. It's like, well look, we've already tried to make it have a closed primary in the legislative sessions, and you've got the Democrats that run and get elected as Republicans, the rhinos that defeated that. And so you really do have to sort of focus from the grassroots. We had a caller earlier in the hour talking about, hey, is there a signature gathering, an initiative process? And yeah, there is. And there are ways that we can deal with some of this stuff at the citizen sort of grassroots level. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. But that's got to be the solution because clearly just voting for Republicans isn't getting the job done. Tanner, do you have anything to add to that or?
Well, yeah, we're getting what I call a false positive. You know, we're voting Republican, we're a red state, but the policies on the backside are unacceptable because they don't align with our party platform. And what this will do is basically you're signing a franchise agreement the same way if you had a Ford dealership or Snap-on or Mary Kay Cosmetics. The Republican will sign a franchise agreement, yes, I will uphold the platform. And then when they don't, then we have legal recourse because, you know, we censored them as an e-board and rebuked them and did all that pomp and circumstance. But there's really no teeth to it. We have no legal standing to actually say you're welcome to participate in the process, but you can't do it as a Republican. You're an independent. As you stated in these articles in the newspapers, you're voting independently of what the party platform is. So we need to clip this in the wings now before it gets completely out of hand.
Well, Sam,
I'll also add a shameless plug. Our Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner is May 2nd. I am emceeing that. I understand you're emceeing the one in Yellowstone County, so I'll be down there for that too. I'll see you there.
Okay.
We still have a few tickets left for the Lincoln Reagan Trump on May 2nd. I'm the MC. Austin Knutson will be giving our keynote. So if you're in the Flathead Valley or driving through, get a ticket, reach out to me, and we'll make sure that you can attend. It's going to be a good party with good conservatives, because Flathead is where conservatism starts and ends. We're kind of the last bastion of conservatives.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for the shout-out for the Lincoln Reagan Day dinner as well. You're right. Yellowstone County has theirs coming up as well, and I did want to give a shout-out for this today on the show today, and so I really appreciate the reminder. Yellowstone County, Friday, May 23rd, 2025, we're going to have Nick Adams, Troy Downing, and a bunch of other politicians from Montana. Go to YellowstoneGOP.org, May 23rd. I'm going to be the MC. It's going to be a ton of fun. You're not going to want to miss this. May 23rd in Billings, YellowstoneGOP.org. YellowstoneGOP.org. Get your tickets. It's going to be a good time. Come out. Voice your opinion. Hey, up next, we are going to have House Speaker Brandon Lear give us an update. You don't want to miss this.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
I think my biggest challenge was getting through to him to understand that love is real, and you have goals in mind, you have things that want to happen, and I want to help you get there.
Sometimes people tend to shy away from wanting to adopt teenagers because they feel like they've lost so much, but there's still so much to gain.
Just knowing that there's just that other person that cares and loves me out there, it feels great. And they've done so much for me, and I can only be appreciative every single day for just having them in my life.
I think it's been the best decision because I gained a son, and he's the best son ever. If I was down and out, he'd be there.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. A message brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble live from Billings to our audience worldwide, and we have Montana House of Representatives Speaker Brandon Lear on the lines. Speaker, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, so can you give us an update on kind of what's – I mean, I don't know if you've heard much of the show, but we've kind of been talking about what happened in the Senate last night and with the budget, and I know you're on the House side, but I guess I'll just kind of turn it over to you.
Yeah, I guess I didn't watch too much of the yesterday morning Senate had the budget, but I know it did pass out of there, so it's coming back over to us. We'll have to either do not concur or concur with the Senate amendments and either pass it on to the governor or send it to a conference committee. So that's kind of the next step in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading this morning that basically, you know, the Nasty Nine kind of voted repeatedly over and over again lockstep with the Democrats to defeat all of the Republican leadership amendments. But then it also mentioned sort of how this passed out of the House was basically kind of half Democrats, half Republicans, you know, half the Democrats supported, half the Democrats against, half the Republicans in favor, half the Republicans against it. So, you know, from our perspective out here, we're kind of just kind of wondering what's going on with the budget. Why are the votes coming out like that?
Yeah, and I mean, when you start the process, you know, the budget is constitutionally the only thing that we're mandated to do. We don't have to do anything else but that. And when you start that, I mean, it's the game of 51-26-1. We need to have a working budget. We need to have a budget that obviously has the things that we need in it. And, you know, the governor puts out his proposals. Did I like everything in the governor's budget? Absolutely not. Did I like some of the stuff that got put on it in general appropriations? No. But it's our constitutional duty to get the budget passed and to find the votes to get the budget passed. And, you know, there was some stuff that was put on by Republicans and some of the subcommittees that I didn't like that kind of bolstered our budget. But there was also things that obviously the Democrats put on that I didn't much care for either. But, you know, I guess being in leadership, I guess you kind of have to take some of the tough votes, and we needed a budget. And like I said, it's the only thing I'm obligated to do up here is to get a budget passed.
Right. Well, we have a caller on the line that wanted to talk about HB 316, the personhood bill. But I guess I wanted to give you a chance, Speaker. Lear, just to kind of give us an update on kind of what's on top of your mind this morning.
Yeah, so, you know, we did pass Senate Bill 117 out of here a couple days ago, and I believe that is a good structural property tax change that's going to come down to the county level. It's going to, you know, kind of limit how growthy governments can get, and it'll be a good tool for the local governments and be a really good process for the local taxpayers to try to tamp down on some of the growth that we're seeing run rampant in our local governments.
Now, is that the one? That's the one that says when there's new developments and some of these new fees are paid by the developers, that money has to be used to reduce property taxes on existing homeowners. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we had a caller from out of Bozeman. Clinton Bozeman was talking about, he's 90 years old, literally lived in the Gallatin County his whole life, lived in Bozeman his whole life, 90 years old, and he's getting taxed out of his property. A lot of his friends have had to move. They've lost their homes over property taxes and stuff like that. And he literally brought up the fact that this is crazy. Like, Bozeman has grown massively. These developers are paying these massive fees for these new developments to the city. And yet the property taxes are still going up on homeowners like Clinton Bozeman, 90 years old in Bozeman, can't afford the higher property taxes. So you're saying this bill that's been passed, that's going to the governor's desk, actually may address that very sort of situation.
Absolutely. It will. Yes. It will address how, you know, how much of that newly developed property that they can how much percent of that they can take in, and then with the excess of that, they have to buy down their local mills, so that will affect everybody across the state. And with that also, I mean, we have had some proposals in this legislative session that help you know, would have helped that situation. We had a 10-year average bill called the Olympic Average Bill, which would have taken the last 5 reappraisal cycles that the state has put out and dropped off the high and dropped off the low and averaged everything out. And that would have, effectively, you know, cut about $250,000 off of, you know, the average home in the state of Montana, in Gallatin, sorry, not in across the state, because there's a lot of homes in the state that, you know, aren't $250,000 worth of value. But, you know, in them high-valued areas, they would have cut about $250,000 off. That proposal didn't make through. But this morning, out of the House Tax Committee, we did pass out a property tax proposal, which is, you know, parts of a few different bills. And we've heard, you know, from Billings that they need a fix, because we don't want to jump into Billings' local charter and, you know, force them to raise or force them to take their cap off. So
no, we want the cap. Here in Billings, we want a cap. We do not want any cap released.
Exactly, and we don't want to do that. So we put in a fix there to where, you know, we're trying to hold Billings harmless to where they do not have to remove that cap. And it would it's a tiered system in property taxes, and if passed, I believe it would significantly lower. We're going to get some modeling done with DOR, and so that way we can know exactly what the changes would be, and in what areas, to get a good broad based perspective. We know it'll lower property taxes. We just want to get concrete what it's actually going to do.
Well, that's fantastic. Let me see if I can bring on Jason and Polson. He's got a question about HB 316. Let me see if I can do this right. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to actually put a shout-out to have the speaker and his support of House Bill 316, which is identifying the unborn human as a person with the same constitutional protected rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And just to put a challenge out there to anyone listening that if they consider themselves a Christian, they also need to support this bill. And, you know, that goes back to biblical principles. In Second Chronicles, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And I think that, you know, that's what we all want. We're all looking for the same thing. So we really need to look at, we need to protect our children. You know, the unborn are very valuable in the sight of God. So we need to look at that. And thank you for the Republicans. Every Republican supported yes to protect life. Every Democratic socialist, no. So I think that shows really where they stand. So thank
awesome.
You, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Speaker Lee, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. We got cut off there for a second, and I think I heard bits and pieces of what he said. But if you wanted to kind of recap it, and I can go from there.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not the expert Aaron is. But no, he was basically saying, giving you a shout out and saying, just wanted to give you a shout out for the HB 316, your support of HB 316, the personhood bill. So I don't know if you have any comments on HB 316, the personhood bill, the status of that, and I guess just a thank you from the listener.
Yeah, no, and I really appreciate that. And we did get every Republican in the House to vote for that constitutional amendment. I don't know what happened over in the Senate. I know they took a vote on it yesterday. I don't know what their vote count is, but I know we got all 58 Republicans on board voting for that bill out of the Senate, and I'm proud of that. And I really appreciate him calling in and voicing his support of that bill, and it's something as Montana Republicans we always want to be, working towards them pro-life goals.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we're all trying to find some wins here out of the legislature. So that's a good one. That property tax one you mentioned is a good one. Any other sort of wins that you can kind of share with us?
Yeah, we've actually had on the policy side, we've had some fairly decent wins. We had House Bill 121 and House Bill 300 by, Representative Seekins Crow. That's, the men and women sports and, the bathroom bill, I guess if you want to call it that. For me, we had House Bill 337. That's a lowering income tax. That's going to be on the Senate floor today. That lowers the income tax rate by half a point and then brings the bottom up. That's going to affect every Montana income taxpayer. That's going to honestly cut state government to the tune of roughly almost $300 million. $289 million will be, in Montana's pockets and not in the state coffers. We've done some good work protecting agriculture water rights. We've done all sorts of things up here, and I know we've passed just a mountain of bills through the Senate or through the House, and it's kind of tough to remember them all, but there are a few that stand on the top of my head.
Well, I'm looking at one here. As cannabis sales pass $1 billion, lawmakers okay a block on new dispensaries. So are you familiar with that one? Okay, that sounds like another win.
Yep. And so what that is that's not – we are keeping the I can't think of the word, and I apologize. We're keeping a moratorium on new growth in the outside – licenses coming in from out of state. And so trying to make sure that, that industry is well regulated. And we want to make sure that it just, we're trying to keep Montana safe, on both sides of that. And so, I think that's a good bill too. And also we've passed a whole bunch of MEPA legislation in response to the HELB decision too. We've had, four bills come through that process. Everybody's a little disappointed on the judicial reform. I'd really love to see partisan judges get through. That's something that, we left on the table. And so I guess with leadership, we kind of have to hang that on us. So
we got to take a break, Speaker. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to go through a break. Folks, if you want to send in a message or call, the Speaker's willing to take questions. I think we've got him here for a few more minutes. I'm going to ask him kind of about plans here for the rest of the session. We'll be right back.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
With it being Good Friday, USDA pushed up several of their important agriculture reports, including the April 1st cattle on feed report. It was released yesterday, and that report shows that there were 11.6 million head of cattle on feed, down 2% from a year ago on April 1st. Steers made up 62% of the total at 7.26 million head, while heifers totaled 4.38 million head, down 4%. March placements rose 5% year over year to 1.84 million head, with increases across all weight classes and in key states like Arizona, Idaho, and Nebraska. Market gains in March are up 1% at 1.73 million head. But Chaley Stewart with DTN notes that the rise in placements shouldn't be alarming to the cattle market, given the sharp drop seen in March 2024, along with record sale-born prices and tightening feeder supplies. Overall, she says the report is viewed as neutral to slightly bearish. And there was a strong offering of cattle at the public auction yards in Billings this week, with feeder steers 600 to 800 pounds trading $20 to $25 higher. Heifers were mostly $25 higher as well. The 6 to 6.5 weight steers 315 to 358, with heifers weighing 5.5 to 6 weight 310 up to $3.63. I'm Lane Northline.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. I've been trying to find some positive stories here, given what happened in the with the budget in the Senate last night. One of them is Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson, eager and ready to further safeguard Montana elections by entering into an agreement with the White House, which sounds absolutely amazing to me. On the phones, we have a special guest, Montana's Elections Director and Secretary Jacobson's Chief Legal Counsel, Austin James. Austin, thanks so much for calling.
Good morning, David. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so can you give us a little bit more info on what this potential deal with the White House is about?
You betcha. Well, Montanans know that last summer, Secretary Jacobson received President Trump's complete and total endorsement when he was in Bozeman, the only statewide official to do so. And when he signed the executive order demanding that we restore trust in our elections here earlier this month, it had provisions that demanded his staff, his Attorney General Bondi, and his Commissioner for SSN, Mr. Dudick, enter into agreements with states so that we can get the best information and make sure that only our citizens are voting and only citizens eligible to vote or vote. Secretary Jacobson reached out to both of those and the White House to say that Montana is ready to be the first state to implement the American First Agenda.
Wow, that is fantastic news. I mean, really, really good news for the state of Montana, especially on a day like today.
Secretary Jacobson's just truly been a national leader on election integrity and really on the business front, running government like a business. In fact, I'm excited to share a little news tip with your listeners that just yesterday, the Republican Secretary of State Committee named Christy the incoming president of and the leader of Republican Secretaries of State nationally. She'll serve the vice president this year and be at the helm of making sure we can have election integrity in all states across the country as a national leader.
Wow, that's just great news coming out of the Secretary of State's office. That's absolutely fantastic. Well, Austin, I appreciate the additional background info on both of those things. Anything else you want to share before I let you go?
No, we'll continue to fight for all Montanans here in the Capitol building and do the best that we can. It's an honor to serve, and it's an honor to work for Secretary Jacobson.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Great call. Good to hear. I mean, that's something that, you know, I saw on Facebook, and I thought, wow, that sounds interesting. I'd love to – wouldn't that be cool? You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see Secretary Christy Jacobson standing in the Oval Office in the White House in Washington, D.C., right next to Donald Trump, when Donald Trump signs the agreement to further safeguard Montana's elections. And again, it kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier, where you've actually got in Washington, D.C., who would have ever thought about this? In Washington, D.C., you've got a more conservative government than what you've got as a whole here in Montana, and I'm talking specifically when you include our court systems that didn't allow voter ID. Remember, the Montana courts did strike down voter ID. Secretary of State Christy Jacobson fought tooth and nail for voter ID, and it got struck down here in Montana by the Montana courts. And so, interesting that you've got the federal government actually being stricter on voting security than the legislature here in Montana is willing to do, or the courts here in Montana are willing to do. But wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool to see Secretary of State standing there in the Oval Office signing a deal to get this done? I got a message from Carrie, actually out of Wyoming. She says, David, One thing no one talks about the property taxes is the fact that the more we improve upon our properties, the more they tax us. True. There should be tax breaks for people who work hard to keep their places clean and looking nice. Agreed. Every time we do something to improve our place, the government has their hand out, but my neighbor's place looks like a dump and they pay less property taxes than we do. Great point. What a great point. How ridiculous is that? Truly ridiculous, but absolutely great point. Michael in Bozeman says, if the party has rebuked the Nasty Nine, are they prohibited from running as Republicans? No, they're not. And I think that was one of the things that Tanner Smith was talking about when he called in, is like, this is ridiculous that they get to continue to say they're Republicans and run as Republicans, given that they're actually Democrats. But no, right now, the state party can rebuke them, censor them, say, we don't recognize you as Republicans, but they're still, you know, they still get to run as Republicans, still get to call themselves Republicans. Let's go to Susan in Missoula. Susan, thanks for calling.
Well, no matter what the debate is, I am very frustrated on any bumper through this legislative session that thinks the priority has to be property relief. I personally wanted to see stronger legislation that would stop the absolutely insane rise in problems with drunk driving and drug driving. Which is just horrible in our state, but I don't know when any of that legislation passed. I really feel strongly that this entire legislative session has really been a waste of time, and there's been a lot of incidental bills passed that I get a sense about that really are, yeah, they're nice, but they're not, or maybe not even nice. But they're incidental to property tax. And on a happy note, I want to wish everybody a happy, I don't know how many years it is, on April 18, 1775, Paul Revere and many patriots rode through the streets of our colonies warning people of the coming of the British. And so that is what Longfellow immortalized in the poem, The Ride of Paul Revere. So today is Paul Revere's ride. And as a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution, all of us are putting out two lanterns in our front windows. So it has nothing to do with the legislature, but I want to recognize Paul Revere and his contributions to the creation of the United States of America.
Amen. Well said. Yeah, I've been hearing about the Paul Revere anniversary myself. Very cool that is, I think, 249. It would be 249 years, because the very next year was 1776. We all know what happened in 1776. And next year is America's 250th birthday. And Donald Trump is planning an amazing birthday celebration for America next year, our 250th. Hey, I saw this story. I was like, we'll mention this story. We've already had our first grizzly attack here in Montana. And actually, the grizzly was shot and killed by a shed hunter out of Dupuyer. And if you've ever read any of Ivan Doig's literature or This House of Sky or anything like that, you'll know all about Dupuyer. But or if you've ever been there, maybe, do we have any listeners in Dupuyer? That'd be a good question to ask. But no, so apparently a man was out searching for antlers near Dupuyer when he first saw an adult grizzly bear. As he left the area, the bear charged at him. The man shot and killed the bear. This story is actually out of the liberal blog known as the Daily Montanan. But what they talk about in here is bears emerge from hibernation throughout the spring. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks officials remind all Montanans to carry bear spray, travel in groups, make noise, and keep garbage, food, and other attractants in secure bins or buildings. But no mention in here about the Endangered Species Act, no mention in here about how the grizzly bear population numbers are twice or three times what a healthy population is, no mention of the fact that these grizzly bears are attacking and killing livestock and humans at the highest rate in a long time, and yet the Democrats in the courts will refuse to delist. And I wonder where the Trump administration is at on delisting the grizzly bears, and I wonder where we're at on getting a grizzly bear hunting season here in Montana, because when you've got enough forest to have a population of a healthy population of 400 to 500 bears, and you've got like 1,000 or 1,500 bears there, yeah, that might be. And then you've got people's, you know, sheep and cows and everything else getting killed all the time by these grizzlies, and you're getting, people are getting out looking for shed hunting and getting charged by grizzlies. You know, maybe something can be done there. We were talking with the speaker about how the Montana cannabis industry surpassed $1 billion in sales. Think about that, folks. Just in Montana in one, or no, this is total sales since marijuana legalized in 2022. Okay, so this is maybe 2 or 3 years worth of sales. Over a billion dollars of marijuana sold in the state. And apparently there is now a dispensary cap blocking the issuance of new dispensary licenses for 2 years. There's apparently around 500 dispensaries here in Montana. No, somebody's quoted in here saying they don't think anybody wants to see a whole bunch of more dispensaries. We've already got 500. So, I mean, there's that. That came out of the legislature. I got a couple other here stories about things that have come out of the legislature as well. Some good, some bad. But man, and of course I could rant and rave all day long about the Garcia thing. As I've mentioned previously, I'm up to speed on all the law on that. And Trump is right. Yeah, no surprise there.
Montana.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Montana. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN, on Twitch, YouTube, Instagram. And by the way, TikTok now, too, I sort of gave in. I was refusing to get on TikTok, But then when, you know, Trump has basically made it clear, like, TikTok's not going anywhere. Trump likes TikTok. And so I kind of just gave up on the anti-TikTok fight. So I'm everywhere now, Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitch, YouTube, TikTok, you name it. The Montana Freedom Caucus just tweeted out, those in red are okay with forced isolation and quarantine, and they've got a picture of the vote totals out of the Senate on HB 888, Representative Hinkle's bill. Looks like Senator Tribus has it in the Senate. But HB 888, revise local Board of Health rules for isolation and quarantine, which I frankly didn't know that this bill was going up there. This has been, ever since COVID ended, I've been saying we have got to put in place constitutional amendments, statutes, whatever it takes to make sure what happened during COVID never, ever, ever happens again in this country, period. Just blatant violations of constitutional rights, civil rights, you name it, during COVID. But what do you know? So anyway, HB 888 actually looks like the second reading in the Senate actually looks like it passed 27-22. But there's a bunch of no votes here. And out of the 22 no votes, I'm looking at this, and you've got a bunch of Republicans on there. Yakovich, Temple, McCamey, you know, unbelievable. Here's another Montana story. Senate Bill 147 strengthens Montana Indian Child Welfare Act. This was posted yesterday by Nonstop Local. Montana Senate passed SB 147, a significant update to the Montana Indian Child Welfare Act. It aims to enhance protections for Indian children. And then this sort of article goes on, and there wasn't a whole lot of details in terms of, like, how it actually enhanced protections for Indian children. The article wasn't clear on that. The passenger rail bill derails on the Montana Senate floor. This one is from Q2. The Big Sky Passenger Rail Authority will likely not see state funding from this. Wow! I didn't realize this. The legislature actually voted down spending? Whoa! House Bill 848, which would have taken $2 million from the railroad car tax. The railroad car tax? How many of you guys know that there's a railroad car tax? The state of Montana has a railroad car tax? Oh, man. HB 848, which would have taken $2 million from the railroad car tax, failed in the Senate. The tax brings in $4 million annually, and the money goes into the general fund. Okay, this just reminds me of, I think the legislature also passed some stupid bill saying that like apartments can't charge application fees, or property managers can't charge application fees, or the application fees have to be refunded if they're not accepted or something like that. And I'm just like, are you guys dumb? Do you guys actually think that's going to actually help renters? Do you guys not know about how the economy works? Do you not know how finance works? Do you not know how human nature works? Because guess what? The property owners and the property managers, they have those fees in place for very good and very valid commercial reasons. And they're not just going to eat that cost. You know what they're going to do? They're going to raise the rental prices. So these legislators, oh, I'm so great. I'm so cool. I passed a bill that got rid of rental application fees. Well, good job. You just raised everybody's rent. And why did nobody, these people never think past it. It's like red light cameras. You know, red light cameras actually increase traffic accidents because it causes people to slam on their brakes when they shouldn't. It's like all of these ideas that come out of the left and then a bunch of Republicans on board with it, whether it's Indigenous People's Day on Columbus Day, attacking Columbus Day, attacking Italian-American history, whatever it might be. You get these Republicans that fall for this. It's just stupid. Red light cameras, getting rid of rental application fees. You're causing more problems than you're fixing. You're causing rent increases. So every renter out there, the legislature has increased your rent because they passed some bill about rental application fees. So now your rent has to go up so that a bunch of weirdos who never have intention of renting on an apartment can submit applications without a fee. Oh, my goodness. I'm too passionate. Aaron Flint was right. Sometimes I get too passionate here. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Grandpa Lou. Grandpa Lou, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, my friend. And I just wanted to thank you for filling in for Aaron Flint so he could have a day off.
Hey, you're welcome. And, I'm doing my best, Grandpa Lou. I'm doing my best.
Oh, I know you are, my friend. Hey, and I just wanted to tell everyone, we'll see you at the Lincoln Dinner and in Billings here at the end of May, whatever. And I was listening to Aaron on Wednesday, and I was pleasantly surprised. I believe it was on Wednesday. The last few minutes, our wonderful Senator Tim Sheehy popped in the office and got to visit for a few minutes. And I just want to let everybody know, boy, we sure lucked out there when we got him elected. Man, what a Jim Dandy, upstanding young man. And I'm proud to support him.
Did you see that he also was out doing PT, physical training with the troops recently, just like Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Appreciate the listeners. Appreciate the callers. We'll see you next Thursday. It's tax.